3. Kirk collected the company personnel records for him, and Johnny went through them one by one as they were handed to him. Just now, she had a big, thick, tattered folder that was all water-stained and mildewed. Johnny took it. It was the record of one named Soth, an assistant mine manager who had served in the compound near Denver. Johnny had never seen him there. He must have kept to his room or his office. Some of the reason was visible on the record. Soth was 180 years old. A cyclo lifespan was around 190, and it meant that Soth could not have been feeling all that spry. But there was more in the record. Since the age of 50, Soth had never returned to Cyclo. He had been shipped all over the universes, serving 2 years here, 4 years there. But never a return to Cyclo. He had even been cross-fired on rigs every time, a thing that was very unusual, as almost all cargoes went via Cyclo, and Johnny had thought that all personnel did. In fact, this insistence on using Cyclo as a transfer point was the main bottleneck on the expansion of the Cyclos. The transshipment platform there could only handle so much cargo and firings in a day. Johnny had already started doubling up platforms in places, one to receive and one to fire. Johnny studied the record. Soth, after graduating from mine school, had been an under-professor of ore theory. It all seemed quite usual right up to the age of 50, when abruptly he had been assigned as an assistant mine manager to a very remote planet. And for the next 130 years, he had been shifted continually, always retaining the same rank. It was an oddity. Johnny went through the reams of records on him, and finally found one of the same date as his original transfer from Cyclo. It said, "Unsuitable for teaching profession. Fla, Chief Catrist, Gru Clinic, Cyclo." That little slip of paper had condemned a being to obvious exile for 130 years. No other black marks evident. Always seemed to have done his work, nothing negative otherwise. Instead of going straight to Soth, Johnny instead made a test with Maz. This Cyclo, at whom Care was mad, was one of the biggest Johnny had ever seen. He had been the local planning engineer. Remembering the Champco brothers, Johnny loaded up a hand blast gun just in case, positioned himself in a room where he had lots of space to back up, and had Maz brought in. Maz's teeth were gleaming behind his faceplate. He sat down easily enough. He was a bit surly.
"I hear that Care clown has been saying I won't work,"
began Maz with no preliminary.
"Contract or no contract, if you think you can put a midget operations officer over the head of a planning engineer, you think trouble."
"He just wants to get the tungsten mine going," said Johnny.
"What's the point? You can't ship it to Cyclo. You finished that."
Johnny thought he might as well dive in now rather than drag it out. "If you'll give me the mathematics to compute the location of the next ore body, I'll work it out." Maz scowled. Johnny prepared to draw.
"Somehow," said Maz, and his scowl deepened. "I don't think I'm supposed to talk mathematics with an alien."
He thought it over. He lifted a back strap of his breathe mask and scratched under it. A considerable time passed.
"I can't think where I got that idea. Mine school? Yes, mine school. Say, this is funny. I got a picture of somebody holding a whirling spiral in front of me."
He yawned. He thought a while.
"Hey,"
he said explosively,
"that's the catrist in charge of our group. You know, I haven't thought of him for years. Funny old blank. He used to spend hours with the youngest males, when he wasn't down in the sex shops of the old town. Yeah, it was him. What were we talking about?"
"Showing me how to do mathematics," said Johnny. Maz shrugged.
"Why bother? Take a lot less time for me to do the calculations myself. What's he going to do with the ore?"
"Cross-fire it to other planets," said Johnny.
"That's kind of illegal," How much bonus? For me, I mean.
The usual, said Johnny.
Tell you what. You tell that Care he ain't no boss of mine and mind his manners, and you double my planning bonus per ton, and I'll calculate the ore body.
He laughed.
There's a lot more tungsten there than I ever told the company. Is it a deal?
Johnny said that it was, and Maz left. It was an inconclusive test, but he hadn't been attacked. He waited for 2 days for Maz to commit suicide, but he didn't. He just went out and started giving Care a hard time, but in the process he broke out his analyzers and instruments and stakes, and shortly was shooting glow stripes into the earth to give workers lines along which to dig. Johnny used the time otherwise as well. He went down to Salisbury, and with Thor to back off the elephants and black mambas, dug into the man books trying to find anything about whirling spirals being held in front of people's faces. He found one reference to it in a booklet named Hypnotism for the Millions. Seemed kind of silly. He made one, and with Thor holding a small deer, spun it in front of its face, and all the deer did was stare at it. Thor said to try it on him, and he did, but Thor just went into gales of laughter. According to the book, you put people to sleep and told them things, and then the people would do them afterward without knowing it was an order. Johnny guessed cyclos must be different if it worked on them. Anyway, he had an idea of what the catrist had been attempting with Maz. There had been some effect, but not enough without the capsule. What a weird world those cyclos had lived in. Imagine putting a whole population under a mental cloud. But the idea wasn't solely cyclos, for there it had been among the spider webs of the old man library, and it had been a man book which had led him onto the capsules. How could any being consider itself so right as to think it should make all other beings into robots to do its bidding? He thought of Lars. Had Hitler been doing things like that? As Maz, according to a call to Victoria, was still going strong, Johnny went back to tackle Soth. If anyone knew math, he should. Johnny was determined to get motors into production, and after all this time of getting trouble from cyclomathematics, he was feeling quite willful about it. This had to be revealed. There were no two ways about it. Turl and his condemned equations that wouldn't balance, that never made any sense. Why, if something happened with the console, he'd never know what was wrong with the circuit. He couldn't figure one out. Not with cyclomath. Suddenly, he remembered the Voraz letter. Hundreds of thousands of inventions and the formulas all in cyclomath. To really get the crashed arms companies converted over to consumer products, those hundreds of thousands of inventions, even though accumulated for millennia and probably stolen by the cyclos from now-defunct races, could very well spell the difference between booming prosperity across the galaxies and having to face a new conference of emissaries howling for his blood. Nobody would be able to figure them out unless he could pry the secret of cyclomath out of these ex-company employees. Mr. Tsung had been right. It could become a diplomatic matter. It could even become war. 4. Soth, Johnny found, did not live in the dormitories. Apparently he coughed at night and kept other cyclos awake, and they had insisted he be berthed in a small former storage room that was hooked into the breathe gas circulating system. And that was where Johnny found him. The room wasn't too bad. The old cyclo had cut down the original storage shelves and fabricated some bookcases and tables from them. The cases were utterly jammed with books, and the tables covered with a litter of paper. Soth was sitting on a high stool as Johnny entered. His fur was splotchy with blue hairs, sign of an aged cyclo. The amber eyes were a bit blurry with white matter at the corners. He was dressed in a wraparound robe, and he had a small cap on his head. He peered nearsightedly at Johnny, evidently seeking to see who it was. Then he remarked the belt gun.
"So you have come to ship me on," said Soth. "I was wondering when someone would notice."
You seem to have a lot of books here, said Johnny, seeking to change the subject.
I was fortunate, said Sob. When that first attack came on the compound, I was in my office and I heard the fire gongs going. I knew there'd be a lot of water, so I ran down to my room and put everything I had into waterproof ore bags. Then, when we were to leave for here, I asked a nice young human if I could go get them and bring them, and he permitted it.
Johnny was looking at the titles. He couldn't read most of them. They were in scripts he had never seen before.
They usually let me keep my books, said Soth. In cross-firing, they don't much care what weight or cubic space there is, for there's nothing else going. Will you let me keep them when you cross-fire me this time?
Johnny was afraid for a moment that this old cyclo must be in his dotage. Then he realized they wouldn't really know that there were no other cyclos alive. They might think there were other captives elsewhere. I'm not here to crossfire you. We're sure there are no cyclos on other planets now. Soth digested this. Then he let out a little snort.
Funny way to end 130 years of exile. But it's not ended. I'm still exiled even if I stay here.
Johnny had him talking.
He had better keep him talking.
How did it start? Soth shrugged.
The way it always starts, being impolite to a catrist. Isn't it in my record?
As Johnny shook his head, Soth went on.
You might as well know. Lately, I have had this strange feeling that I should be more honest, and I do appreciate your fixing my fangs for me. Two were quite painful. Anyway, we had this young cyclo in school, and he got confused about his lessons and wanted a better explanation.
About mathematics? Said Johnny. Soth looked at him for quite a while.
Why do you ask that?
He said finally. A sort of cloud had passed over him and gone away. Then, as Johnny didn't reply, he went on.
Well, yes, it was about mathematics in a way, I suppose. It was how you calculate ore bodies in semi-core mining.
He sighed.
Somebody must have reported him because the catrist of that school wing came in and started shouting at him, and then started shouting at the whole class. It was very disruptive. There's no excuse for what I did, really. But for years I used to think it was because my mother was a member of an underground church group. They believed that sentient creatures had souls, and they felt very strongly about it. It wasn't that she was caught or anything, but some of it must have rubbed off on me to make me do what I did. This catrist was standing there screaming at the class that they were all animals, and they better remember they were animals. And he was making so much noise, I must have gotten confused. I did want him to quiet down because I had a class to teach, and it just slipped out.
He sat for a long time.
It's sort of painful to talk about this. I never do. If word of this got back to the...
Then he let out a slight gasp.
I just realized they're all dead. It's all right if I talk about it.
Then he looked closely at Johnny.
It is all right, isn't it?
Sure, said Johnny. I don't even know what a catrist is.
You know, said Soth, I've come to believe I don't either, really. But because of what it did to my life, I've pieced a lot of it together. There's lots of books on lots of planets. 250,000 years ago, cyclos were really a different people. They didn't even have the name Cyclo. I think sometime or other, they must have gotten frightened of somebody invading them or something. As near as I could piece together, there was this group of carnival performers. You know, mountebanks, frauds. They were the original Cyclos. They used to hypnotize people on the stage and make them do funny things to get the audience to laugh at them. Just trash. Actually, just criminals. When this panic came on, they went to the Emperor and told him something or other, because the next thing anyone knew, they were in charge of the schools and medical centers. The race before that had been called after the current Emperor, according to books on other planets. Well, right at that time, they began to be called Cyclos. That was the name of these carnival performers. So instead of being called after the ruler, the race was now called after the Cyclos. It means brain, according to some old dictionaries. Another form of the word also means property of. Everyone became the property of the Cyclos. Anyway, members of this mob of cutthroats began to call themselves Catrist. That means mental doctor. So the people became Cyclos, or brains, and the Catrist, or mental doctor, was the real hidden government. They taught all the children. They inspected every citizen. They suppressed religion. They told people how to think. Oh, I was stupid. There's no excuse for what I did.
He fell silent.
But this Catrist was raising so much row. I should not blame my mother. I should never have blamed her.
He paused again and drew a long breath.
I just blurted out. I said, they are not animals.
He shuddered and after a while said,
so that began my exile. Now you know.
What Johnny now knew was that that mob of frauds was stark staring insane.
Well,
said Soth, coming out of his despondency,
if that isn't why you're here, why are you? An old ruin like me has nothing to offer.
Johnny decided to dive in. You obviously know mathematics. Suspicion clouded Soth's already roomy gaze.
How did you know my hobby was mathematics? It isn't in my record. I paid a female clerk 500 credits once to see it, and I know.
The mystery of it threw him. Then he solved it.
Ah!
He swept his paw down the bookshelves.
My books.
Then he clouded over again.
But they're mostly outer language books, and very few people can read them. A lot of the races are even dead. Come, he pleaded, tell me why you're here.
I want you to teach me about cyclomathematics, said Johnny. There was a sudden tension in Soth. He seemed to become confused. Then it seemed to clear away.
Nobody has asked me to teach them anything for 130 years. You're an alien race. But what does it matter? There are hardly any Cyclos left. What do you want to know?
The tension slid out of Johnny. He'd made it.